Today's a special day, ladies and gentlemen. Dreams do come alive. No matter what anybody says, no matter what your father says to you, dreams come alive.
Your father doesn't say anything to you.
Nope, he's passed on. But before he said little as well. But if he did say something, he would have said, I don't know if this is going to happen. But I've always wanted to make a movie, and now I am. And I wanted to create, there was a character in this. So the movie is Unbelievably Friendly Organisms. It is about a man that became very famous for writing a book about being abducted by UFOs. He changes the view of it. He views it, and he had a horrible experience, but he tells the world that he was given all this wonderful information and that he's now blessed. But it turns out they just impregnated him with a baby, and then they stole his baby, and they did it in a very bad way.
So Unbelievably Friendly Organisms, that means UFO.
Correct.
That's great. That's
Fuck
so
you.
Smart.
Fuck you, you piece of shit. All right? It is, Franny. It was the one that wasn't copyright. And that is why it's called that. So there's a section of this is what you know about the UFO phenomena is that a lot of times when entities take someone, they want to figure out a way to calm them down, talk with them, communicate with them, and in this case, breed with them. And in my mind, I was like, who would be the person that you'd pull from the very center of my brain? And holy shit, she showed up. We have here today icon Jenna Hayes. The adult entertainment industry, and now psychologist.
Well, psychotherapist. I have a master's, so I haven't done the doctorate yet, but I intend on doing the doctorate.
Wow.
But I'm technically a psychotherapist now and a crisis counselor.
That's amazing.
That's so.
Thank you.
What's the biggest difference between getting your master's and being in porn? What's the biggest differences? No, I'm just so happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here too. I'm excited, and I've heard about your podcast from some friends. So
nice.
Thank you for having me on.
Of course.
Oh, good. I'm glad they listened.
This is the least sexy 45 minutes of your life, Jenna.
Yeah, for sure.
This is going
to
be.
I don't know. I had to take classes on racism and oppression and stuff. So.
Oh, they didn't get you going?
No.
That's what I can't believe it. But this
not
is
my
he's crazy.
But unbelievable fertilizing organisms.
That's another movie. That's another movie.
But sounds like something to do with a gardener.
My gardener is looking.
Is he?
Yes. But today, I'm sorry, I know I look like a person that hoards your underwear in a giant chest. But I don't. I can't afford it. I'm an enthusiast. I can't afford it. I'm an enthusiast of material.
I mean, I do sell my clothing from my movies at shopjennahayes.com.
Oh, good club.
Amazing.
That's a phenomenal plug.
Phenomenal plug.
But today, we're not going to be talking about your illustrious career. We're not going to be talking about fun, horny things. We're going to be talking about the opposite. We're going to be talking about the truth. Talking about UFOs.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes. How have you been touched at all by the new, like, UFO news? Like, the idea of UFOs being, quote unquote, real?
I mean, I've always known that it's real. For us to think that we are the only intelligent species in the entire galaxy, universe, everything is incredibly arrogant, right? So there has to be some other kind of life.
That's how I started as well.
Yeah. And so I'm in the middle of watching Invasion right now. But I love alien movies. I love alien shows. So I'm seeing them drop the, you know, the news and saying, oh yeah, you know, it is real. We do have footage, you know, blah, 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 blah. I think it's like, obviously, duh, but it's also a distraction from politics and what's going on right now is why they're dropping it. But but I like the confirmation, you know, and I saw actually this morning, it's funny. I saw something about some kind of floating, some video on Twitter or something. I still call it Twitter.
It's Twitter. Like some,
it's Twitter.
Yeah.
Of some like glowing thing somewhere. And I didn't get to really read it because I was getting ready for this. But I was like, oh, look, this is a good sign. I'm looking at UFO stuff right before I do this podcast. How perfect.
We're going to show you some footage because I want to get your reaction. Okay. But have you ever had what we call an anomalous experience?
Not with aliens, no. I've had a couple of like spiritual experiences that have led me to believe that there's definitely some sort of paranormal stuff going on in the world. Like, for example, my grandfather passed away a few years ago. I've never told anyone this, but my grandfather passed away a few years ago and I wasn't able to go to his service. And I was reading a book on my couch and in the middle, like it was silent in my house. And I heard in the middle of my living room, like 3 feet from me, the sound of keys jingling. And I was like, oh my God, as a psychotherapist, I'm like, am I schizophrenic? Like what's going on? Like I'm hearing things. And, my sister who happens to see ghosts and everything like that. And she has a very deep spiritual connection.
Are you Italian?
Am I? No, but I talk with my hands a lot.
Yeah, just wondering.
But, she was like, she's like, Jen, she's like, that was your grandfather. He used to jingle his keys in his pocket all the time. That was him like saying, you know, that he's here and he understands and saying goodbye. And
why didn't you come to my funeral? You don't seem busy. You're just reading a book. You could have made it.
Well, I didn't come to the funeral because my aunt does not like me very much.
Fair enough. Then don't you feel like that's not the time to start drama? I actually was talking about this with somebody about a funeral's a great drama inflection point.
I feel like everyone gets a pass during the funeral.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard time, you know, but I'm just glad that I got to have that moment, you know. And then another time after my mom passed away a few years ago, she came to me in a dream and it was the most vivid dream I've ever had. I could smell her skin. I could feel the texture of her hair. Like it was like unbelievably vivid. And so those two experiences made me be like, okay, there's way more to this world like that. We, you know, there's some truth to this ghost thing. There's some truth to the spiritual thing. There's some truth to who knows, you know, I mean, all the folklore and stuff, the werewolves and the vampires, like who knows what grain of truth is in all of that, right?
It's been connected to there's a guy named Jacques Vallée that talks about this idea that we have been followed by the phenomena since the very beginning of consciousness. And that the stories that we say about aliens and the grays and all these types of things are the same stories that they said about fairies when in the like medieval times, because they would be abducted and turn, you know, the story of a changeling, like a child being stolen by fairies and coming back, being replaced. That's all alien abduction. All of that is the same thing. And so Jacques Vallée talks that we've been mirrored by this phenomena for a long time. And it's got something to do with us. Like it's got some, but who knows if there is something outside of us.
Who knows? I mean, I think that there's got to be a grain of truth in all of these things. You know, I'm obsessed with anything fantasy, really. Like I have fairy art all over my house and like, I love like anything like horror or alien or anything like that. I get really into
Have you been reading A Court of Thorns and Roses?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny that you say that. A friend of mine gave me that book like a year or so ago, and I haven't started reading it.
My wife.
We have a companion for you.
My wife runs a show on these books. They're everywhere.
They are. I've heard conflicting opinions on those books.
They're great. They do whatever. Honestly, it gets her all ready to go. She's reading a book, and it's sad that I'm not a 7 foot tall, bewinged, barbed penis giant man.
Yes, it is sad.
But in the end, I mean, I'm there. That man would be difficult.
Yeah, you know,
for me, busy. It was more of like reading Anne Rice and like Laurel K. Hamilton and things like that. So a little bit different.
I love Laurel K. Hamilton too. Did you have a goth phase?
I'm kind of considered, I hang out with a lot of goth people in the music industry and stuff. A lot of dark wave musicians and things like that. And I wear black predominantly. So I'm kind of a honorary goth, I guess.
Yeah, I could see it.
Goth sympathizer.
I mean, because I'm an actress and a model, I like to wear all kinds of different fashion looks. So one day I look like hippie bohemian stoner girl. The next day I look like a goth chick. The next day I look like a rocker chick. The next day I look like a sweet little psychotherapist, you know?
It's like, so great.
I love being able to express all the different sides of me.
When you in like, I actually wonder, like in while you were working and all this kind of stuff, like, have you run into people that have been involved in the UFO world? since this? Have you ever, like, you know, you've never ended up at Alex Jones's house?
Definitely not.
You've never ended up at, like, you know, I'm trying to think.
Is he an alien guy?
Opposite, you know. I am on the opposite end of the political spectrum with that.
So. No, that's, oh, yeah. You never know. Like, that's the problem with UFOs. UFOs is the one subject.
It's truly bipartisan.
It is truly bipartisan. Yeah. Like, very true. Nobody, everybody's, because guess who, guess what's the only, like, defining trait? It's insane.
Yeah.
As long as you're just completely, utterly insane, desperate, or broken, there's a place for you in ufology.
Yes. And I have to say, Jenna, I've been doing this podcast for 2 years now, and I would say 2 years and 3 days ago, I didn't give a shit about aliens. And I think this is your opportunity to get out now. I think it's very important for you to realize that this is, it is a deep place to go to, and you can leave, and you don't have to do this because Henry's making it.
We can ruin Jenna Hayes today.
No.
We can do it today if you just go down. Let's show her the video. All right. Let's show her the video. We're going to ruin her today.
That's the thing. I didn't give a shit. I found this video.
Yeah, that's what I did to him.
I brought this
to the
table.
That's what I did to him. He's not even interested in this shit.
It was on TMZ.
In the day of, this is the days of AI, so it's hard to know what is real and what is not real anymore, right?
That's actually, it's very astute.
Yeah.
Whatever, though. This is real.
This came from, I want it to be real.
I will not. I can't be challenged. I'm too fragile to be challenged.
This came from a representative in Montana, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so this came from this. So now they were having a UAP congressional hearing, right? So this is the only thing these fucking idiots are even going to be, can sit in the same room to hear, is about UFOs now.
Yeah.
And so this footage, this is hot out of the bakery from the U.S. government of an object that was seen over Yemen that was shot at by a missile and then was fine.
This is what I saw this morning.
This is from our buddy Jeremy Corbell. I think you and Jeremy Corbell could also hang out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, you love him.
Right. I don't know. Are you Cybertruck lady?
No.
He loves his Cybertruck.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah. You've never seen a Cybertruck?
No.
He has a green wrap Cybertruck with a UFO vanity license plate on.
Does this say UFO?
Yes.
Oh, God. I take back anything nice I ever said about him. That's ridiculous.
Jenna, your whole reputation is going to be
all gone now.
Every single thing that you work for.
Just because you got a green wrapped Cybertruck?
He has a green wrapped Cybertruck. But it's, nevertheless, he gets great UFO footage.
Yeah. It takes some fucking 10 days to drive to Vegas.
He said he had to extinguish the flames every, it's only once a month.
All right, so what are we seeing here, Henry?
So this object was shot over Yemen. So now I guess this is a complicated airspace. So this was over a U.S. military base that this thing was flying around. And the worst part, the thing about this that is truly ridiculous is the fact that it's going flat against it. Boom! So that was a
missile.
Actual tracking missile shot from the base itself. That just turned it. It just dropped chunks of it off and then just kept flying.
Yeah, it didn't give a shit, which is pretty awesome. Now, I got to say, you got to give that guy who hit it a raise.
Yeah.
Because if you're able to hit a UFO with a missile, like, let's send that. He belongs in Yemen.
I mean, he's definitely.
He's busy. He's working.
He's the guy that can, like, just shoot like an ISIS guy, like through the window of a bathroom.
This is wild.
Do they have to get clearance to just shoot this out, try to shoot this out of the sky? Or does
absolutely.
So apparently the way it goes is that they can get clearance, but they do have, like, if this was over a no-fly space, that thing's not, like, that guy, apparently they had to shoot it.
Yeah.
Whether they wanted to or not. Jenna, okay. as a therapist, what do you do with people like me that see shit like this? And then are like, why am I working? Why are the aliens just coming and taking care of everything?
They don't care about you.
No, I know. Oh, I know.
Well, you know, as a therapist, I don't judge. I come from a non-judgmental stance. So yeah. I've heard some pretty far out things in therapy sessions. And I don't judge. I accept, you know, not everyone's going to believe in the same things I believe in. And I don't think it's any sort of like mental illness or anything like that to believe in different things, you know?
But what about when you're just like, then why do I have to pay taxes?
I mean, I ask myself that every day without even seeing a UFO. Okay.
I do ask that a lot. I do ask that a lot. Normally what helps me, my questioning taxes juice is called scotch.
Well, I just finished my taxes. My CPA sent it over today and I signed it and I was like, oh, done again for like another year. And then we got to do it again in a few months. And like, oh.
Doesn't that make you just say aliens? Just come already.
Just take it.
Just fucking come already.
It's funny that you say that, because the other day I was like, you know what? Like, why haven't, with everything that's going on in the world, all of this craziness and everything and all of this like pain and suffering and like wildness and, you know, government stuff that's going on, you know, why haven't they come down and been like, hey, but I think they're actually like observing us and being like, these people are fucking stupid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm reading a book right now called The Demonized Male. And what it's about is the charting of violence in men specifically because of like our primate natures. And I do think that there is something to the idea of, oh, that rock is filled with very violent monkeys.
Yeah, they probably, I mean, it's like, you know, you don't go swimming in an ocean full of sharks.
Some people do, but they're white and they buy a big cage and they go down amongst them.
I mean, who knows? You know, there's also the theory that, you know, we actually came from an alien race and were planted on this planet forever and ever and ever ago. You know, one of my favorite books is a sci-fi book, sci-fi horror, by a writer called Christopher Pike, and it's called The Season of Passage. And it's about an astronaut who goes to Mars. And basically that's the whole like concept of the book, is that we were planted here on Earth by an alien race. So maybe we're just an experiment to them. You know, maybe that's what this aircraft was doing. It was just like observing and being like, oh man, they're not getting any better.
It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
They're like, killing each other.
Yeah. I like that the fact that they might be on vacation. I think that's nice. So they come in here to just chill out, you know,
like how I went to the Wisconsin Dells.
Yes, very similar. And you didn't want to talk to the people there.
No.
So
no, I didn't.
Yeah, it's like Pigeon Forge.
I guess, you know, like, that is the truth. Who would you be surprised? Like, who would you not be surprised that you've personally met would be half alien?
Oh, probably my friend Taylor Momsen.
Yep. Yeah. Mom said, yeah,
she's
sure.
She's pretty incredible. And if
the
you've
singer.
Seen,
like, yeah.
She's awesome. She just went, the reason why I thought of her is because I just saw a picture of her this morning at the VMAs and her abs are just insane. And like, they look like almost fake. And she's just such a diverse, creative person. And I don't know, she's kind of otherworldly.
And
know?
Abs are all genetic. That's what I say to myself every day.
That's what you have to say to yourself.
They're completely genetic. There's nothing I can do about it.
I would think her. I mean, I don't know. I meet a lot of really cool people, so I'm very blessed in that aspect.
I mean, that is really cool. Would you freak out if you found out you were half alien DNA? I actually feel like that's the big secret. That's what the big secret that they've been hovering over us is, number one, that they have a UFO they don't know what to do with.
Of course.
And number two, that a lot of people are walking around with alien DNA. Do anything about it, and if it doesn't change your lunch tomorrow, why would you even care if you knew?
Well, I wouldn't care if I knew.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it would bother
you. Would
you
care?
I wouldn't care. I mean, I've had people online tell me that I look like an alien, so there you go.
You know, it is not, I'm not going to say it's not part of, not part of the reason that you're in UFO, unbelievably friendly organisms, because you do, you know, that was the part of one of the big conspiracy theories, is that the Greys got, okay, Jenna, this is gonna, let's see how, hang with me.
No, I love this. I wish I got stoned before this, though.
No, we're gonna get stoned, Jenna.
Don't worry.
We're gonna get stoned. Don't worry.
That is actually what Henry's best at.
We're gonna do that.
I try to be professional, show up sober, you know.
No, you're the best. No, we're
it's
gonna
also
get stoned.
Oh, yeah. We totally should have told you could have got stoned.
Oh, we should have done this together. I would have brought my fucking dabs rig and we would have done this together.
It's okay. We'll spend lots of time together. So.
Yes. So, President Eisenhower, during his time in office, there's a very famous apparently real story within alien lore is that he faked a dental emergency. That he was in Florida, he faked a dental emergency because the Greys had landed, requested his presence, and that the Eisenhower had to negotiate with an alien Grey in a literally a Florida golf course where he signed an agreement saying, okay, we'll take X amount of technology for X amount of human beings. Right. And the idea that they would have that the Greys that they thought they could control would have something like 150,000, whatever humans they were allowed to just take, and that they would take those people and they would begin their breeding program with them because they can't stay here. So they needed to create something that can mix with their DNA that can stay on this planet. And that a part of what they did was create hybrid races. So they would pick people up, impregnate them, steal the babies from them, drop them back off. And then they would then subtly put those hybrid babies in society, creating a new beauty standard. And that eventually we would go to love. And that's the reason why I'm saying right now, if you are a hybrid baby, Jenna, I want to say thank you so much. For choosing this project.
I did 23andMe, and while I found out a lot about my DNA and my genetics and where I'm from and stuff, it didn't show any alien DNA, unfortunately.
Well, I don't think they're up to date on their bullshit.
23andMe folded. There's going to be... How would you... Okay, here, Jenna, here's the fun question. Okay, let's say your DNA was stolen by 23andMe. Okay.
It was.
I've watched Black Mirror. Okay. I've seen the episode of Black Mirror is one of my favorite shows. And I have seen the episode, you know, where he takes the DNA off the Coke can and he like makes like the whole doubles of all of his coworkers and stuff. My whole thing is like, if somebody wants to clone me and make another one of me or steal my DNA, they can do it so easily. I mean, I was an exotic dancer. I was an adult film star.
It's all out there. It's out there. But in my mind, all right, so I had this debate with Natalie.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say they take your DNA. And instead of like, so one of the big problems we're having right now is trying to figure out how do we, instead of using quote unquote slave to dig for the giant, all of these things that we need to make cell phones, right? All the cadmium, all this kind of shit, right? We're subjugating large groups of people to do this. It's horrible. What if instead, because we know we can clone humans, they can clone us, right? And we wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
And our clones were there digging, right? The clones were digging. And all that we sent them to do all this manual labor and shit. Is that, how would you feel about that morally?
I mean, I don't think cloning is morally acceptable at all, period. My ex-boyfriend wanted to clone my dog.
Oh, my God.
We had a dog together, and he wanted to clone her. And I was like, no, because I don't know. Like, it's not going to be her, and her soul isn't going to be there.
There's so many dogs. Rescue dogs. Don't clone dogs. We do not need more dogs.
It'd be a fun experiment, though, in a way.
I don't know. I'm against the ethics of cloning. It freaks me out. I think it's really dangerous. And I mean, I don't know. Another one of me. I don't think the world could handle it.
I don't think they could either.
I think we need it, Jenna.
Do clones start as babies or as adults?
Babies.
So they have to like grow up.
I would hope that we could stretch them.
Yeah.
They age fast.
So they die fast too. So clone probably only lasts a couple years.
That's what I'm saying. If it's my clone, pay me money.
I don't want your clone working in a mine. Your clone's gonna fucking suck in a mine.
Start him early.
Yeah. No. I think if we're gonna clone anyone, dead people.
That's a great idea.
You clone dead people. Let them work in the mines.
That's a fucking great idea.
Get Jenna's grandfather in the mines.
No!
We won't even know, Jenna.
Get like horrible people like Hitler and Genghis Khan and stuff like that and put them in the mines.
They're going to take over the mines.
I think Genghis Khan would be a great mine worker.
No, because if we start... No, because they're going to take over the other clones and then the clones are going to rise up.
Give them a lobotomy.
Wow.
Who cares? It's meat.
That's
it's not a person.
Disgusting,
it's not a...
I have to say, all of this is completely unethical, guys.
Thank you for the. I like
that. Get used to that phrase when you're on set. Yeah,
yeah. What we're doing also for UFO, the movie, I'm so excited for you to meet my like second family. So my a whole other crew of family that is on this movie is Shane Morton, Chris Brown, and they painted me head to toe for the show that I was doing for Adult Swim called Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, and they've been working all this stuff. And so Jenna, I did sort of say right before this, I did sort of hit you with the, you're going to probably be covered with a lot of prosthetics.
Yeah, I think that's fun. I think it's exciting. You know, I did a horror movie. I had a small role in a horror movie by the Butcher Brothers years ago called Raised by Wolves. And I played like an escaped cult member and they had to like douse me with blood and like put like these carved symbols all over my body. And at the end of the day, we'd been shooting all day and they're like, oh, well, you can go take a shower. And I was like, no, I just want to stay in this. I want to drive home like this. I drove home and I wish that someone had like pulled me over. It was the only time I ever wished I got pulled over by a cop because I wanted to see the reaction of me just like drenched in blood. But I love stuff like that. You know, I love being creative and I love seeing myself in different ways and getting to, you know, have these kind of off the wall experiences. So I'm excited about it.
This is going to be fun. And my boys are really good at it. Just so you know, Shane is going to talk about he worked for a while on, you ever heard of gornography?
No.
No.
Gornography is pornography that is made to look like, it's like zombies. Oh. And so I remember one time he showed me this. He was just like, hey, bud, you want to take a look at this? And what it was is a fake vagina on top of a vagina to be eaten off of the woman. Like it was to be like a guy went like, ah, and then pulled off her vagina.
Oh. Wow.
But it was all fake.
Yeah. What's that movie?
I don't know. I've never seen the film, Eddie. I'm just saying you're going to hear about it, Jenna, because Shane doesn't know how to not talk about it. Well, so I'm doing it here now.
Well, maybe we should get an HR director on set.
No! Nothing will be made. Again,
you know, I was in the adult industry. I'm still kind of technically, you know, industry adjacent because I still, you know, promote my awesome Fleshlight products and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, nice.
Yeah, so I've always been like adjacent to that. So I've seen a lot of stuff, like it's between adult stuff, being a therapist, and being around the entertainment industry, like pretty much for the last 24 years, I have seen some wild stuff. So
can I honestly ask, what do you do to take care of yourself in all of that? Because I've like, Eddie and I had a really weird night. Remember the guy with that we talked to that, the psychologist for like hours, like the dude.
Oh, that guy was great.
He was awesome, but he was all like, yeah, I don't feel shit.
Yeah,
we were like, how do you deal with people like telling you their problems all day? He's like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
I was just like, so wow.
Therapists usually have their own therapist.
Yeah.
I also do a lot of self-care. So my specializations are in like meditation and mindfulness, as well as working with people who do self-harming behaviors, borderline personality disorder, anxiety, depression, and suicide prevention are kind of the areas that I work in. So I hear a lot of really, really, really harsh stuff and really heavy things, you know. And there's been a couple of stories that have weighed down on me that I go home and I'm like, oh my gosh, and I they'll pop in my head again. But, you know, we're really, really big on self-care. And since meditation and mindfulness is kind of my jam, you know, I do a lot of meditation. I meditate every single day. I go on vacations a lot, actually, because I love to travel. Awesome. I do yoga. I do yoga like
every single day. Where's the last place
you go? The last place, I spent 2 months in Australia last year.
Oh,
isn't it great?
It's wonderful.
I love it. I've been 8 times and I love it there so much. It's amazing.
You seem like you would be a naturalized Australian.
Yes, I have a lot of Aussie friends.
How do you do with the spiders?
So you don't really see them in the cities as like the huge ones in the cities as much. You see them more when you go like up the coast, like above Sydney. The coastline up there is stunningly beautiful, and like yes. I saw some spiders that were, and I actually have a little bit of a spider phobia that I'm trying to work through right now. So I was like, but it's getting better. But yeah, the spiders there are really, really intense. But yeah, so I travel a lot. I have amazing friends and stuff that I turn to for support. I do journaling. But I think I've just kind of had such a crazy life and like I'm used to chaos in a way. So it doesn't affect me.
You seem like such a bubble of sanity.
You really do.
I am, but
are you fooling us?
I mean, you have to be. As
are
a...
you fooling us, Jenna? You seem like such a bubble of just
been
like
surrounded by chaos pretty much my whole life, you know. And I'm kind of like the calm in the middle of the storm. Although, you know, everybody has their own moments of, you know, outbursts and things like that. But
not me.
I'm curious about your therapy.
I don't know if I believe that, sir.
I'm one of the calmest men you've ever met.
You're turning red as we talk to you.
But I think I was kind of almost born to be a therapist. You know, it's what I wanted to do before I got in the industry, and yeah, it's great. I think I was born to also be an actress and an adult film star. You know, it's all of these things came really naturally to me.
Is your therapy in person or over Zoom?
It's in person.
Nice.
He's out on the therapist right now.
Oh, well, we don't have another session on the books, but I do love my therapist. So I'm going to have to stick with her.
I think everybody should have a therapist. That's all I got to say.
Like,
every single
completely.
Person in the world has been through something or can improve themselves in some way. And it's always good to have somebody who you can talk to and bounce ideas off of and who can help you from a non-biased perspective.
You know, I actually, this could be a good, what's some good advice you can give people for that first session? Because that first session fucking sucks. When you just got to unload your entire life in an hour. Like, what, and it's like.
See, I view it as like, here comes the show.
Yeah.
It's time for the show.
I'm like, let me just lay it all out. Like, I've never had a problem talking to people and I'm pretty much an open book. So it wasn't an issue for me. I think it's important to find the right therapist for you, because it took me like 5 tries before I found the perfect therapist for me.
How do you properly fire a therapist?
You just say, hey, I don't think this is going to work out. And, you know, I've worked with clients before who it's not a good match, you know, like some therapists are going to be great for you, some aren't. And that's okay. It's not a big deal. It doesn't mean it's a bad therapist. It doesn't mean you're a bad client. It just means that it's not a good fit. And, you know, that's the same way it is with romantic relationships too, you know, like just not a good fit. But I think if someone's going into a session for the first time, I mean, understand that everything is confidential. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you. And it's a very, very safe spot. So, you know, a lot of people come in and they're scared, you know, and you have to use different strategies to get the client to open up more. And then other clients will come in and they're just like me. They're just like, laying it all out there.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, just realizing that, you know, it's not meant to be a scary thing. You know, it's meant to be a safe place where we can help you improve yourself and work through whatever trauma or whatever, you know, stress or mental anguish or anxiety or depression or obsessive thoughts or whatever it is that you're going through.
Yeah. I never thought I needed it. And then I started doing it.
Everybody
almost like
everybody needs it.
Yeah, exactly. And I started doing it as like preventative because I was like releasing this movie about my mother. And I'm like, I'm going to do a lot of interviews. I'm going to get all sad. So I just like, all right, I'm just going to start therapy to like make sure that I'm going to be okay when this all happens. And now it's like 4 years later, I couldn't imagine living without it. And I like, and then everyone like, you know, I seem like a very well-adjusted person. You have no idea, Jenna, but everyone else like, yeah, he doesn't need it. And then,
he's calm. He's genuinely very calm.
Yeah, the weed helps. And but like it's been wonderful for me. And so I can't suggest it more. And I love that you're doing it. And I think it's wonderful. Now, are you a therapist there? What kind of therapist are you?
I'm a psychotherapist. So I try to keep my actual like credentials a little bit secret because I don't want my fans to kind of look for me.
That was the thing I was going to ask. I was like, do you ever...
I'm still in the process of getting fully licensed and everything, and I may just go straight into a doctoral program in a couple of years. So I just try to, you know, I've already had fans write me and be like, can I be your client? Can I be your client? And I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I work primarily with women, too. I work primarily with women, not only, but mostly. And my whole goal is to have a private practice where I work with people in the adult industry, people who are actresses, models, musicians, anyone in the entertainment industry.
It couldn't be more necessary.
Jenna, like, honestly, that could not be. We need your perspective, actually.
Yeah, because I think that it's hard for a therapist and a client to have as fruitful of a relationship when the therapist doesn't understand the perspective of what it's like to be an entertainer or to be a celebrity or to have a fan base or to have stalkers or to have like be on set for 14 hours a day, to have these expectations be put on you. And to have like people act like they know you when they don't really know you. And
oh yeah. So think about this. You go to therapy, right? Yeah. Any other human being, you go to therapy and you say, people are saying negative things about me, blah, blah, blah. What do I do? And they'll be like, don't look, it shouldn't involve you. What if you're a public figure?
Exactly.
What happens when you're a public figure and legitimately part of my job as a CEO of a company is to absorb the negative criticism and do something about it? And it's literally the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And I think that's why, you know, I think that's why I wanted to go in this direction, because when I was looking for a therapist, as soon as I told them, you know, what I did for a living before, they were like, oh, and their perspective of me would change. And they couldn't understand what it was like to go on tour, what it was like to deal with signing autographs, what it was like. And I know that these things kind of sound a little bit superficial in some way, but it does have an effect on someone's psyche, you know, and, you know, coping with all the negative comments or the positive comments or the people. You know, it's an interesting experience being somewhat of a celebrity. And because I've, you know, toured and because I've been on camera and been on set and done interviews galore and all of these things, I feel like I can understand people in the music industry better. I feel like I can understand people who have been, you know, movie stars. And I don't think there's a lot of therapists out there, if any, that I can think of who have been some sort of celebrity beforehand. You know, so I think I'm going to be able to give a very interesting perspective and be able to provide my clients with a service and a safe place that no one else could kind of provide.
Well, I also imagine you deal with something that it is also very outside of and of a quote unquote, somebody who's not in the public sphere of the dangerous attention. Yes. Like there's a certain amount of dangerous attention that comes with it, too, because I remember when I got my first significant death threat and I asked a much more famous person about this, they said, congratulations. They said, welcome. They're like, that means you're doing well then.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've gotten them since I was 19 years old. So
I can't even imagine. I didn't want to talk about
it. I've been dealing with it for 24 years. So.
Like, I don't even know how you walk. Like, what do you do? Like, how do you not look at us as two dangerous, evil creatures?
Because we're
like,
falling asleep while we talk.
I know, but it's different. We still are. I feel like as a 41-year-old man, the world is, I'm starting to understand now, people are afraid of me.
Yeah.
Really?
As a man, just like walking into places, like walking into amongst younger people, I'm starting to now feel like, oh, they think I'm like, a police officer.
I've had people run from me for no reason,
and they think
which
I'm
is
a,
fine.
They look at me like I'm some kind of authority figure, and you're like, I need one. I need an authority figure. I never had a proper mentor. You want? That's what they're scared of is this conversation.
I think it's good that they're scared of you.
I mean, and if they're, hey, yeah, you know, not everyone's
they're cautious.
Love
they're
them.
Responsible. You look scary.
What's scary about me?
You have pentagram hats on half the time.
Pentagram's a symbol of protection.
Right. No, yeah, but you have to scream that to explain it.
Sorry, now you're just watching. We've literally
it's
known
okay.
each other
if it
for
makes
23
you feel
years.
I have a purse that has a pentagram on it. So there you
Dude,
go.
Dude, you yeah. just fucking, how do you feel about
you're
Satan
You're already
himself?
Hired. Don't worry
how
about it.
How do you
it.
Feel about the power of Satan himself?
I mean, I don't, think, I'm okay, so...
Why is Satan
on
a man?
On a bad day, I'm an atheist. On an average day, I'm an agnostic. And on a good day, I'm spiritual, but I don't believe in religion. So
I'm with you. What is the difference? As someone who's an atheist agnostic, what should I call? What's the difference between atheist and agnostic to you?
Well, so an atheist means that you believe nothing and that there's nothing. And an agnostic means that you just don't have the knowledge. You just don't have the information to make the right decision. So there could be or there could not be. You just don't know. And until that information, that concrete evidence is provided, you are kind of in like a limbo stage of like, could be, could not be.
So yeah, I view myself as a professional agnostic. Yeah. Right. Okay. I refuse to believe in anyone in anything.
Well, that's atheist.
No.
According
an atheist,
to what
an atheist is saying that there's nothing.
That there's no God, there's no spirituality, there's no nothing. And when we die, there's nothing.
I think it's all true.
Really? See, I'm an atheist-leaning agnostic after this conversation. I think that's how I feel about it. I'm more atheist than not, you know, than the other side of agnostic. But,
yes.
But you know, but if I saw something that was true, I'd believe it.
Sure. No, yeah, I mean, you know,
I was full atheist until I had those two experiences I told you about. And then I was like, whoa.
There's got to be something to it. If every culture on Earth believes in some kind of spirit, there has to be something to it.
Unless it is a literal, entirely, we literally can't understand our consciousness and reality and how our consciousness works with reality. Is there such a thing as an objective reality? Like, are you actually here, or are you all just globules? Am I the only guy here? Am I the only man here?
No.
Are we in a simulation?
But Jenna, I was obsessed with that thought for a long time. And then eventually I had a therapist that said, does it? If it's a simulation, like, does it affect the appointment? Like, does it affect you going out to lunch? Does it affect you? And I was just like, no. Then he's like, it's a pretty good simulation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea, if it was a simulation, would make me feel a little bit more free. Because I'd be like, oh, it doesn't really matter.
I feel like you've done everything you've. But haven't you done everything you've ever wanted into anyway? Right?
Me? No. I have so much more I want to do. Are you kidding?
I know. I don't mean forever, but I mean up until this point. Like, do you feel like you really lived it, or do you feel like there was like, or is it one of those things that you not ended up here? Like, is it one of those that you follow your heart and end up here, or were you like, this is a set track?
I mean, I don't know. That's an interesting question. These are deep questions. I've never been on a podcast where they've asked me things like this before.
I'm not even. Awesome.
I love it.
I'm getting to know you.
I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I just know that I sometimes believe in reincarnation. I went to a past life regressionist. I have a lot of very like hippie friends and stuff. So
yeah, same.
I've done like chakra balancing. I've done like gone to mediums to contact like dead relatives, those kinds of things. And I sometimes believe in reincarnation because the past life regressionist said that I was a love and sex goddess that was worshipped in Italy at one point. And I was like, well, that sounds pretty accurate.
yeah, I think that I could sign up for that. Yeah.
I think that's pretty accurate. But I don't know.
Yeah, mine was I was a man named Grunt that was crushed by a rock. No, let's continue, please.
Are you Sisyphus? No, I'm just kidding.
No, don't do this to me. I just talked about it in therapy.
He's syphilis. That's...
That's not what I said, sir.
I'm clean. I'm clean. Don't I look clean?
But I think that, you know, we're still finding out so much stuff. You know, technology is still catching up with so many things, and we're just evolving. And there's so much that we don't know, you know, that it's actually kind of exciting, you know, to think of like what we might like. I'm probably like almost halfway through my life or whatever. Like, and like, I can't like from what's happened from the time I was a kid to the time now, like, I mean, I grew up playing like the original Nintendo, you know, my first movies were on VHS.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We had a rotary phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a rotary phone. Like, like we didn't have, I grew up without cell phones or, you know, pagers or internet or anything like that, you know, and to see where we are now, like, I'm just excited to see, you know, what we find out. And with, you know, with the government releasing all this UFO footage and things like that, like, who knows?
Things could either go uphill very quickly or go downhill very quickly. When those aliens show up, we
what they do.
Can I ask an alien question of you?
Yeah.
What are you scared of them, or are you welcoming?
It depends on how they would approach me. You know, if it's the aliens in Invasion right now that I'm watching, oh my God, no, like I would be terrified of them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But if it's like,
but what about like the footage we just saw? Does that, do you think that's cool, or does that scare you? That it can shrug off a missile like that?
I think it's really cool. Yeah. I mean, I would be welcoming at first until they showed some kind of sign of aggression or wanted to like kill me. And then I'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
It's like, don't do that. That's what I would say.
Hit the nuke button. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Jenna, yeah. Then we get it, yeah.
Yeah, treat them like a person. Obviously, you know, that's very, I think that's very smart.
I actually, I feel like that they have arrived and we have no idea what
they probably have.
Yeah, and we just don't know.
Man, that Eisenhower thing's, stinks of shit to me.
But
because,
I mean,
like, first off, like, why would an alien give a shit about signing an agreement?
Well, that's
do
the
they
whole
even
thing.
Have a signature? It's, like why? There's no law.
Well,
like,
that's what I've said countless times. Is that if the grays were real, like if it is all real, right?
I like, actually, yeah, I'll sign your bullshit.
I legitimately like, don't. You joke, but I think that that's what it is. Yeah. I think these guys show up and like they do this thing called contract. And they act like it's a binding thing, like we're not a timeless.
They take a piece of a tree creature. And yeah. ruin it with some weird black substance, and then they say that now I have to do this.
Yep,
they're stupid.
Yep,
correct. Well, I mean, I don't think that they're going to look like what we think they're going to look like.
Yeah,
I think that. I mean, like you said, they could already be here, and we just can't see them. We can't perceive them. We don't have the right equipment or the right senses. Or we're not as evolved, you know. Maybe as human beings, we need to continue to evolve, right?
Very much so. But then, Jenna, how do we evolve
as a therapist?
Well, not what we're doing now, man.
Like, the world you think we're heading in the wrong way?
I think that in order to evolve as human beings, we need to do what we're not doing. I think we need to evolve in areas of empathy. I think that we need to become like our, in the United States here, we are a very individualistic culture, right? I think we need to become more of a collectivistic culture where we actually care about each other, because right now, like, we're letting children, you know, like they're cutting kids' benefits and they're like doing all these things, you know, that are harmful to humanity. And I think that's the wrong direction. I think that love, compassion, as cheesy as that fucking sounds, is like the way to go, you know? And I think intellectualism and learning and growing is so important. But right now, what we're seeing from our society, specifically here in the United States, is a regression, an anti-intellectualism swing, you know, a shunning of science, of all of these things. And I think that's dangerous. And I think it's absolutely the wrong direction. Because, I mean, think about how much our brains have evolved since the beginning of time, right? Like, our brains have, like, grown and grown and grown. And, like, who knows what way we could evolve if we would just be good fucking people.
But it's also, it's like acknowledging where we're at, too, and knowing that we've had the same, but, like, it evolved, and then we've had the same brain since the beginning of civilization. So it's actually more like, how do we understand that we're limited? How do we first understand that like we still have an ancient brain?
Yeah.
And the world and the technology is going faster than our social networks can go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucked up. We were, you know, think about like just cars, right? Cars are what, like 1888 or something like that? It's like the first car. And then like 1912, we're flying. And then 1954, we're in space.
Yep.
That shit's crazy. And then, like that's from all of time to that, like that's nuts.
In the last 150 years, we have seen so many advances that it's scary, but also exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, it is very, very interesting. Interesting times indeed.
It's great, big, beautiful.
And we don't even know what all this internet stuff is really actually going to do to our brains. You know, they're talking lately, they've had articles about how ChatGPT is causing psychosis in individuals, which I find fascinating. And I tell everyone, please don't use ChatGPT. And I have friends who use it as a therapist, and I'm like, stop using ChatGPT. No!
It's just telling you what you want to hear. There's nothing in there. Nothing. Yes, there's nothing in the box. Yeah. You're talking to nobody. So that's what's hard, is that.
Plus, the environmental repercussions of using, you know, AI all the time aren't that great. And I think that's another aspect of it. Like, we're killing our world. You know, we're killing our planet. I think we need to love the planet and heal the planet. And I know that's hippy-dippy, but I think that's how we evolve. That's your question.
Imagine if Jenna said, I want the world to burn. I want radioactive material to be spread on every elementary school I encounter. You know, like, I say we cull the weak. That's what Jenna Hayes says, cull the weak. That's how we move forward.
No, I say everybody smoke weed.
Hell yeah, smoke weed every day.
Jenna, you are literally the change the world needs. You are changing your local area, which is literally what needs to be done.
Thank you. You know, I really enjoy my job as a therapist. I enjoyed my job as an adult film star. I think that a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, being an adult film star, that's not a big deal. And you don't really help people. But I have helped people. It's crazy how many people write to me and say, oh, my gosh, like, you know, I'm in a wheelchair and I'm paralyzed and I've never had sex, but like your movies give me like, you know, and couples have written to me and been like, oh my gosh, like we created our child watching one of your movies. And like, you know, you hear that's all these awesome. Things. It's yes. awesome. You know,
it like, is. Porn properly applied saves guys' lives, like legit, and like in a fucked up way. It really can. In the same way, like comedy, we get messages like that. People are like, oh, your cum based material has really saved me.
Hey, now, people need to laugh. Okay. Laughing is one of the best things in the world. I love laughing. And you know, people need to laugh. Be funny. It's
Jenna
great.
Hayes yeah. hates laughter. Jenna Hayes says eradicate joy.
I gotta ask another.
The opposite. But everybody contributes to this world in their own way, you know, and they can bring inspiration, amusement, entertainment, whatever it is, healing in their own way. And that impacts humanity, you know, whether I was an adult film star or whether, you know, I'm a therapist or now I'm getting more into mainstream acting. Like all of these things are going to impact people in some way, you know?
All right. I got a hopefully therapist. Positive. You have a distinct, you can answer this question better than anyone else. All right. Okay. As a therapist with the history that you have in adult films, how do you know if you're watching too many adult films? Like, how do you know if it's a problem? Like, how do you know if like you're addicted? Like, what is a good way to like find out? Do you think it's bad for people? Do you think it's good for people? I know it's a lot of questions at once, but.
I think most things are okay for people in moderation. I mm-hmm. think that the way to know if you're watching too much adult content is how is it impacting your health? How is it impacting your relationships, your work, your productivity, your hygiene?
Like, yes, yes.
Things like that. And if you're also starting to become not, how do I say this right? If you're starting to have difficulty becoming aroused to like just the sight of a naked person or like your partner or things like that, and you're searching for more and more and more and more extreme things online that are starting to get into like questionable territory, I think that's when you realize like, hey, you know, this might be a problem. Also, if you're doing it all day, like how many tissue boxes are you going through? Hey,
so you mean to say that it's not a good thing to shoot to be the high treasurer of Goonington? These gooners are everywhere, Jenna.
I hate that term. I really hate it.
Gooners up and down. They're everywhere. I see them everywhere.
It just it reminds me of the Goonies. So, like, I just don't like that term.
It's not the Goonies. Yeah. That's for certain. Unless it's Martha Plimpton. If Martha Plimpton starts gooning, then actually, which could be interesting. I could see that film.
Oh, my gosh.
I could see
it. You're making me Jenna, laugh.
Thank you so much for talking to us today.
I really appreciate it. It's been a delight to meet you.
You're wonderful. Thank you for being in this movie.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited to begin this.
Yes, the Kickstarter is launched, or it's going to be launched soon. I'm not sure.
It will be. By the time this is out, it will have launched. Great. And then I will be attaching to the end of this the information that you will need to go to give me money.
I believe it's UFO.movie, if I'm correct. But I think
look at that. Doesn't even exist yet, and she knows.
She's better than me.
Yeah, but we're very excited about this. I'm super psyched about it. You know, when you guys reached out, I was like, wow, this sounds like a really fun, I love comedy. I love alien stuff. I love scary stuff. Those are kind of the areas I want to get into in movies and mainstream. So this is perfect. And it's I think it's going to be a really fun project. So.
No, it's going to be awesome. Have you been to Atlanta before?
I have been to Atlanta. I used to dance there every year on my birthday.
Oh, where? Magic City?
No, at the Pink Pony.
Oh, yeah. Pink Pony. Oh, yeah. No, Atlanta. But Atlanta.
Is that what the song's about?
Yeah. No, Chappelle Roan is something else.
No.
Not that Pink Pony.
It's about the same thing.
Not in WeHo, but it was the one in WeHo. Let's not do this.
All right.
This makes us look ancient.
I don't care.
I was describing Chapel Roan. Is that the...
Is that what she's talking about the whole time?
The barn she went to?
With her kabuki pop music.
What are they doing eating each other out in the front seat? You got to be paying attention to the road. All these girls need to be paying attention to the road. Oh, God, Jenna. Jenna Hayes.
Oh, we're going to have fun on set. I can tell.
I believe
it's gonna
so.
It's going to be a blast.
Go check out her stuff.
Yes. You can see me 24 hours a day at Instagram.com/Jenna Hayes. The Linktree link in my bio will take you to all of my recent interviews, my music videos that I did last year.
You direct and you do all of it too.
Yeah. And I've been starring in music videos. I was just featured on an album cover for the band Death Heaven, which was really cool. I'm a very diverse individual. I've got my fingers into almost everything.
I love it.
That's so cool. So what a wonderful, wonderful conversation.
Thank you. That was so fun. My cheeks hurt from smiling and laughing now. So
good.
Good.
Yes. Now I'm going to go smoke some weed with my neighbor.
No, please. Go enjoy. Go enjoy. Thank you so
much. I can't believe you didn't.
Jenna, you can always do it too. But yeah, I'm going to bring, when we go to, I'm going to bring a bunch of weed.
It's Los legal Angeles.
Here, you know. It's legal
if you're... If you are interested ever, I know this is a ridiculous ask, but we're going to be up in Humboldt.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be doing a live show in Humboldt that we did this last year.
Oh, my God. You walked away.
With an uncountable amount of weed.
I'm talking pounds of the best weed I've ever had in my life.
I'm still smoking it a year later. Like, it's sitting in my freezer.
Wow,
it's
how wonderful. It's so good.
Put
in the freezer.
Yeah.
Freezer. And then we had his dog sitter picking it.
Yeah.
And cutting it all.
Yeah, it was great.
It was great.
We had a whole operation going.
You're going to like this. You're going to like our collaboration.
I think I'm going to enjoy this.
I'm going to bring you a pile of weed. You're going to like it. Are you a smoker or are you a vapor or are you an edible person?
I'm a jointer.
Yes.
Great. I will bring you a garbage bag of weed.
I'm a pre-roll person. Same. I'm going to flood you with some of the best weed ever. God, that's great to hear.
It's a perk.
Bring it on. My last name is Hayes for a reason.
So. Yeah, I know.
Amen.
I was praying. I thought I saw something. I was like, I think Jenna might be sober. But I was just like, for a second, I thought you might be sober. But I was just like, I hope she smokes me.
But only recreationally, of course. So,
of course. You
know. Well, yeah, it's not like you're doing it. I do it professionally.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you so much.
That's it. All right. And so obviously we're going to be in contact. I'm going to be sending you a bunch of, we're going to be sending a new script and all that kind of shit, but we'll be in contact.
Bye.
Bye, Jenna.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Hi. My name is Henry Zebrowski, and you might recognize me from Last Podcast on the Left or Adult Swim's Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. Anyway, I'm here talking to you because I'm making a goddamn movie. It's time for me to make a movie about the most messed up alien abduction to ever happen. And it's the kind of movie they don't want you to see in the Cineplex. This is a raunchy sci-fi comedy that tells the story of a man that he gets abducted by aliens and it doesn't go well for him.